The Guardian.
Hello, I'm Catherine Shaw, and before we hear the show, we just wanted to point you in the direction of our sponsor, Squarespace. For more information on building your own beautiful websites, go to squarespace.com. Now on with the show.
Daily's time. It's Thursday, 10th of March, and here with me, Ben Lee. Ben, Zack Snyder has said he quite wanted to cast Christian Bale in the upcoming Batman v Superman film. Not as Batman again, but as...
a Batman superfan? Someone dresses up as Batman because he's obsessed with him?
Obsessively follows him. So like sort of like cosplay. Breaking the fourth wall meta kind of thing.
Yeah, he said no, didn't he? It's sad.
I would enjoy Batman v Superman a lot more, I think.
Batman v Superman versus Christian Bale following them around.
Superman superfan.
Yeah.
Great. To the news, where Napster founder Sean Parker is the latest bright spark pitching an idea that is guaranteed to get cinema owners fuming. Parker is suggesting a new service called the Screening Room, whereby a $50 fee would allow you at home to watch a film on the same day as its release in cinemas. Customers would also receive a pair of tickets for the same film at a cinema of their choice. Ben, this is the latest way to fundamentally reinvent cinema, but is it a good idea?
I think it's come at a weird time because last year was a record-breaking year at the box office, and I thought people were thinking after the year before that it was going to be another down year, and I think we're in a really good time for the box office, even though the films people are going to see might be a bit dull. You know, this year's already started off really well. I don't think it's really needed at the moment, and Paramount tried to do a different strategy last year with Paranormal Activity 6 mm-hmm. and Scouts and Zombies versus the Apocalypse, or whatever it's called.
Versus Superman.
Scouts for some stupid shit. And they had this rule where after each film got down to 300 screens, it would then be available to watch at home 17 days after. So it broke the 3-month period they usually have down to 6 weeks. A lot of cinema chains refused to show the films. The films actually ended up flopping in the cinemas. It didn't really work out for them. So I don't really think people are really that eager for this personally at the moment. I know that they've already got some interesting studios, Sean Parker has, but I think cinema chains are already getting pissy about it. I don't blame them.
Presumably, though, it's a toss-up between the distributors and the studios looking at things like Netflix and Amazon and saying, well, these services are becoming more and more prominent, and they're more and more, in terms of getting our films out there, a viable way of doing it. Whereas the cinema owners themselves, understandably, aren't going to be that keen if you're watching a film in your living room rather than coming to their place and spending money on tickets and food.
They are getting quite a lot of... the way the business model is set up, from what I understand, they will actually get quite a bit of money out of it, and actually...
I think it's something like $20 for each $50 ticket sold, which is a fair old whack.
Yeah, and Sean Parker's company will then only get $5 for each $50, but they sell these set-top boxes for $150. It's slightly appealing in a way to think that you don't have to sit around people screaming and shouting through the whole film, but I just feel it's going to increase piracy, because as soon as you get... as soon as you get some sort of clever hacker, I sound like a dad, but someone who's able to rip that from the box, then it becomes, you get a perfect quality of a film and then upload it to the internet, and it's going to go everywhere. So I think ultimately it'll affect everyone in a negative way.
The problem in a sense, though, is that the delivery system of film is outdated, right? Like this, you say that last year there were bigger box office figures than ever, but it looks like people are looking ahead to a world where we don't go to the cinema as much, and they're trying to deal with that now.
Yeah, maybe. I think this year is a really important year to see how the box office does, but whether it can sustain what it did last year. People are using Netflix and Amazon a lot still, but I think when it comes to these big event movies, which are getting bigger and bigger, people still want to see that on a big screen. I don't think people are going to want to see Batman versus Superman on a small screen where they can go to the cinema and see it in IMAX.
And today's podcast brought to you by Batman versus
Superman.
Yeah,
we're saying it a lot.
now showing at a genuine bricks and mortar cinema near you from tomorrow is The Witch, a supernatural horror set in 17th century New England. It sees a family turn on their eldest daughter after the baby son vanishes while in her care. Ben, good witch, bad witch, worst witch?
Not enough witches, we were just saying.
We need more witches.
Since the Blair Witch Project, you'd think there'd be a boom in witches, but there's not been many witches.
Batman v Superman v witches.
I'd like a witch added to most films, mm-hmm. Especially after seeing this. This is one of those films that it broke out at Sundance last year, and with all these incredible reviews, and there's been so much hype now. I mean, God, it's been over a year's worth of hype added to this film. And it's recently released in the States on a massive wide level after they were going to give it a small VOD release, decided against it, and it was a surprisingly big hit. But it's a very small movie. And I think I recommend going to see it and with your expectations lower. Not that it's a bad movie, but it's not this... it doesn't deserve a year's worth of hype as the scariest movie ever.
But from the sound of the reviews that I've read, it seems like it's not a traditional horror that, in terms of what we're used to now, i.e. it's not full of jump scares. It's much more, it's working on the idea of the things you don't see.
Yeah, but in some ways it is. I mean, it's a lot about, it's about mood and atmosphere. And you get this family who've been sort of excommunicated from their puritanical Christian community, and they move to this remote house by the woods. And it's about how they struggle with being alone and what might be in the woods. What did surprise me is how the film is actually quite explicit about what is in the woods. You see quite early on something which tells you what is in the woods, which I wasn't expecting, because I thought from a lot of the reviews it would be incredibly cerebral and you'd have to assume a lot and it would make all these kind of opaque suggestions. But the film manages to do both. It has this great mood and this great atmosphere. It doesn't answer everything, but answers enough for you to leave satisfied. So in a genre as well, I mean, the horror films have been getting progressively worse, and this year we've already had The Forest, which I know you hated.
I wasn't a fan of.
And there's been The Other Side of the Door, The Boy. They've become very generic. So to see a film like this, it is really, as a horror fan, is really satisfying. And it's interesting about the film, because as soon as I saw it, I thought, oh, that was quite good. And then across the, you know, over the last few weeks, it's really haunted me, as good horror films should. So I think that proves its power.
It's been a percolating. It's very much about a religion, as you say. But I mean, the family go off into the wilderness to find, I think, quote, the kingdom of heaven, but they obviously find hell. Is it saying anything about religion today, or is it just a kind of crucible style, or is it a crucible style parable about what religion can do to people and suspicion?
What did surprise me is that a lot of the trailers make you think that the plot you've just given me is kind of a very trailer-based description. And I think that I thought it was going to be about the evils of religion and the paranoia that can come with that can manifest in your head. But there's a lot more explicit horror in this too. I mean, what's interesting is that in the States, that A24, the distributors, worked with the Satanists, because the Satanists have actually given this film their full approval.
Right.
Because they think it's the most accurate description of what it's like to descend into, to give in to the devil. And I don't want to reveal too much, but I think I can kind of understand what they say. It's a really interesting ending. And not that I'm now, not that I've been Googling.
I'd love to know what the Satanist marketing spin was.
Well, they had screenings with them.
Really?
They worked alongside them.
Oh, I'd love to get... They should come to a pitch meeting for us about one of our projects. Yeah. See how they can sell it for us. And that's it for today. With that, we leave you. We're banished from the pod waves again until tomorrow. In the meantime, have a look at theguardian.com/film, where Peter Bradshaw's review of Charlie Kaufman's Anomalisa will be screaming 5 stars all over the place. And we'll have a review of J.J. Abrahams' new monster mash, 10 Cloverfield Lane. Cheers for listening. See you again tomorrow. Today's wisdom comes superpowered straight from Zack Snyder. I write in a pretty straightforward way. I kind of sit down at page one and start writing. Bye!
This Guardian podcast is supported by Squarespace. Whether the story behind your passion is out of the ordinary or simply out of this world, you should tell it in an unforgettable way. Squarespace helps you do just that, with the only websites designed to showcase what makes your passion worth pursuing. Start your free trial today at squarespace.com/guardian.
For more great downloads, go to theguardian.com/audio.